and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the show that specializes in the great service that amateur radio provides. Your host, Lynn Winkler,
CQ, and welcome to the final edition of Ham Radio and More. I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, along with my co-host, the professor.
Your ex-co-host soon, Ned Stearns, AA7A.
Yes, today is our last live show today, 2300 UTC, actually, on Sunday night. And we're going to invite your participation. What are we going to talk about today on our last day? Well, we're going to talk a little about my opinion of the American Radio Relay League. We're going to talk about the future of amateur radio. We're going to have a little nostalgia where I can bring back some memories of all the different people. Well, some of the people.
Oh, thank God. It's a one-hour show.
That's true. Some of the people that I've had on this show over the seven-plus years. We'll talk about... this is 339th show that we're doing. Very few repeats, very few that I wasn't in, but you did run a couple when I wasn't here.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And John Moore, NJ7E, did that for me when he was co-hosting for a while. And there's so many people to thank. In fact, I'm going to try to get this out of the way now because I want to do some commercials because I want to leave the rest of the show for talk. The list that I have is just a long list, but I'm not going to go through all that. So I just want to just briefly go over, of course, the Professor Ned Stearns, AA7A, and Lee Finkel, KY7M, who did a whole bunch of DX reports. Nick Seuss, W7ZMD, who used to do a lot of our technical stuff. In fact, product reviews. I even want to thank KFNN Radio, AM 1510, Ron Cohn in Phoenix, Arizona, for getting us started and allowing us to do this. Sinclair No, who does the little voiceover in the beginning and the end of our show. Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, of course, who's been a sponsor of this show, my wife for putting up with me. Actually, WWCR Radio and Adam Locke, I want to thank Adam, of course. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, he's been a very big help to me, and Newsline. Tapper and Greg Jones, WD5IVD, and of course, Tapper is still having our, on their website, a lot of our old shows as well as current shows that you can listen on real audio. Ed Hare, W1RFI, one of the few people from the American Radio Relay League that has actually been extremely supportive of this show. John Moore, NJ7E, who for the first year and a half was here every single week and was without him, I would never have been able to do this. That's honest to God's truth. I knew absolutely nothing, and John certainly helped. Not that I know a lot more today. Randy Storaci, KE7TV, has helped me when I moved into my new studio here. Barney Fagan, KB7KOE, who kind of pushed me into doing this. I even want to thank Nancy Cott from Fists, because I'll tell you, her, even though she's so supportive of Morse code requirement, it really added spice to our shows, and as much as I helped her, and she'll admit that I've given her lots of publicity, and she's just tremendously grown Fists organization because of me, I'm basically... I don't know, fair. I want to put their side out as well as the anti-code requirement side, and I want to thank her because she made it interesting. Paul Schleck, KD3FU, he helped me with learning how to post on the Internet, how to do certain news groups, how to go to Rec Radio Info and put out information, and so he was a guide for that. And obviously, every guest that I've had over the years, all my listeners and callers, I really want to thank Martin Jew at MFJ Enterprises. Obviously, the largest manufacturer of goods and services in this hobby of ours, and the biggest advertiser and a sponsor of this show for close to 2 years, and very supportive of this show. And, you know, I don't know if there's any relation that the fact that he advertises on this show and he's number one. but the fact is he is progressive. He is not regressive as so many of the other companies are, like ICOM. Martin Jew, thank you. Amateur Radio Trader Magazine, Nick Smith, I want to thank him. He's always been very supportive in Amateur Radio Trader Magazine. And I want to thank Bruce Diamond, WD9DBL, which is a name no one knows, and no one knows why I mention him. But he is actually a friend of mine since maybe we were 14 years old. And when we were on CB in Chicago, he got his ham license, and he's the one who pushed me, even gave me a code oscillator and key, straight key, to practice on. So, Bruce, thank you. And there's hundreds more that I've probably forgotten.
That's interesting. That last friend of yours, he was your Elmer?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yes.
I find that's kind of something that's really key in my mind to where ham radio, why ham radio maybe isn't going like it was when I was a kid, is because there's kind of in this drop-off in Elmers. I mean, there's just nobody like that anymore. You know, I remember mine, a guy down the street who got me going, and for a lot of people, that was very important for them to get into ham radio. So it's good to be thankful for them, and it's maybe even better to be one yourself sometime.
Well, you are one. Not quote-unquote an Elmer per se, but you are a guy and I've said this before on this show, and we've actually discussed the Elmers before, that when I became a ham, let's just take the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club, there was a group of six or seven people that were listed as Elmers. And you could ask them questions, they would help you in all different things. Well, that group is no longer an Elmer group. And so there are no Elmers. And I see I'm sure there are somewhere in the country and somewhere in the world, but there just isn't, like you said, like there used to be. But you go out, you go to different groups, you're always volunteering your time. Very few of the, what I would call, you're not old, but of the older, the people who have been hams for 25 years or more, very few of them are excited like you still are 25 years later or 30 years later, and willing to go and impart your knowledge on others. That's why, you know, you're willing to even help on this show when you could be, you know, maybe doing something worse at home or something. But no, but really, there aren't that many people out there willing to do that anymore and to volunteer their time. And with the society changing the way it is and all the impulses and things trying to get us to go in a million different directions, amateur radio is having a problem. And I was going to start the show with dead silence, and then say, could this be the future of amateur radio? But I was afraid that if I did that Ken Berryhill might think that I was dead and there was an audio problem. So I didn't do it. Don't laugh too much, Ken. So anyway, this is our last show. And those are the kinds of people that I want to thank. I want to give a listing of some of the people and some of the individuals, some of the topics that we had on our shows in the years past. People like Jim Stevens, KK7C from Antenna West. He was actually my first sponsor. Well, Ken Nichols was my first sponsor. But this was my first sponsor from outside of the Phoenix metropolitan area. And Antennas West is still thriving, still there. And Jim is such a knowledgeable person when it comes to antennas. I'm telling you, if anybody ever wants to know anything about antennas, you can tell him I said to call him. Call Jim Stevens at Antennas West. No, don't ask me for his phone number, but just give him a call. I've had Bob Sutton, Army Mars Chief, numerous times on this show, talking about how important Army Mars is. Dave Bloschke, W5UN. Would you call him Mr. Moonbounce?
Yeah, you can work him with a handy talkie on good days. Yeah.
Unbelievable. A full acre, his antenna is a full acre in size, puts out 1.5 million effective watts of power, according to him. Joe Mel, K0OV, Mr. Fox Hunting. I mean, you want to go fox hunting, he's the man. He wrote the book and all. Al Gross, WAPAL, a good friend of mine living here in the Phoenix area. He invented the first walkie-talkie. You heard me. Invented the first walkie-talkie. He sued Mr. Sarnoff of RCA, one of the few who ever sued and won. He won priority of invention for the first walkie-talkie. He also invented the first digital beeper. He did surface mount technology before anybody knew about it. Sold Motorola, things that they use today for cellular telephone. This man is an unbelievable genius. He's also the one who gave Dick Gould the idea for the wristwatch radio, two-way radio. That's right. Dick Tracy, you got it. I've had people from Handy Ham on. When AEA was in business, they were a sponsor years back, and they were on this show. I mean, there's so many. Lyle Johnson. Now, without Lyle Johnson, we may never have had Packet to the extreme that we do today. He was Mr. Tapper for years and years, Lyle Johnson. Steve Mansfield from the ARRL. He used to be the public relations guy. Now he is the big shot at the lobbying for the ARRL, which is the primary reason, I would say, to continue to support the ARRL. Nancy Cott, of course, from FIS. Harry Daniels, a real supporter of the no-code and no-code requirement, and he was the president of the ARRL. He was the president not Harry Daniels. I had him, too. You're thinking of the guy from IARU, Ed Baldwin, Dick Baldwin. No, Harry Daniels from 25 years or more. You got to be a member. You got to be a
CWA.
The QCWA. He was the president of that. Fred Maya, W5YI, who's been on this show numerous times. Of course, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF of Newsline. David Cassidy, who used to run 73 Magazine before Wayne Green took it back again and made it the great thing that it is today with no ads from anybody from the ham industry. Boy, they're supportive of everything. Joe Lynch, who's been to Cuba and who's been very instrumental in lots of stuff, including the Oklahoma bombing, he was involved. Steve Mendelson, of course, he runs the New York Marathon. He's the executive vice president of the ARRL. We've had Bob Grove on. Now, everybody knows Grove Communications and, major magazines. We've had Dick Daniels from Phase 3 in AMSAT. We've had Jim Gray, Mr. Propagation, and Henry Rue from Amateur TV. John Crivelli, who wins the 4A field day and beat out Scottsdale this year.
Don't remind me.
I know. We've had Senator Barry Goldwater on a couple of times, including putting him on live on Amateur TV while he was on my show. That was really something extraordinary. Even Mr. Art Bell would like to have Senator Barry Goldwater as a guest. I've had him twice. Bob Heil of Heil Sound. Chris Imlay, who is the ARRL attorney. Hap Holly of Rain. I have had Wayne Green numerous times on this show of 73 Magazine. Martin Jew, of course. I've been live from the Biosphere, which is really a tremendous place in Arizona. And I've had Dr. Paul Shuck from the SETI League. So many more to mention, but it just suffice to say, in these 7 years, I've learned an awful lot. I've given out tons of information, and I hope that everybody has had a good time listening and has learned something. Now, I'm going to do some spots here, some business announcements, and then I'm going to open up the telephones at area code 602-678-1234. 602-678-1234. I don't take your calls until you go on the line, on the air, so you can just let it ring and ring and ring until I pick it up, and then you'll be on. I want to hear from you maybe if you remember when we first went on in Boston on WSSH, I believe, was a station 50,000 watts in Boston. Maybe some of you would remember. Maybe you want to call and tell me that you're glad I'm going off the air. One more ham leaving, and it's just great. I was a ruination of amateur radio because I'm so against the code requirement. Maybe you want to call and say I did a good job and I kept you up on Sunday evenings, and when WCR repeated our show on Tuesday nights and Saturday nights, you listened to it at that time and I kept you up then. Maybe you're happy that you won't be up anymore with listening to my spiel. Maybe you'll miss the professor, I don't know. But whatever the case may be, we will open up the lines at 602-678-1234, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And also, we'll talk to the professor, get his feel on how you feel the future of amateur radio will be. You don't need to give any discussions on the ARRL if you don't want to, but
I might. You'll probably cover that. Yes.
Okay. Maybe a little about code we'll discuss. But, you know, we should go out having a little fun at 602-678-1234. And again, excuse me, we do have, of course, a homepage. You're welcome to go to our homepage, and we will continue to update it. Even though the show is gone, I will continue to update with information and editorials from time to time that I feel of importance to the industry. Not that anybody else might want to read it, but you never know. I am going into a business recently. It's funny, but it's a table tennis club. And for those of you out there who are at all interested in getting pro quality, and I mean pro quality table tennis equipment, paddles and rubber and tables and the like, and I'm talking about real good quality equipment, you'll beat your friends just by using a different equipment, give me a call. Area code 602-953-8177. That's Table Tennis and More. That is my new business. 602-953-8177. I'm not there now, obviously. Okay, let me tell you about MFJ Enterprises. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about their Morse code tutor. Because really, you know, for those of you who want to get a general class license or above, you got to know it 13 words per minute until they change the rules, which they may never change. But hopefully in 1999 they might change it. But anyway, the MFJ 418 is what you need now. It's $79.95 or less. It is random in what the characters are sent. You can have QSOs, plain English QSOs, word recognition. It has a word recognition mode. It takes you actually to over 40, 50 words per minute. I don't know even if the professor can go that fast.
That keeps me up to speed, right?
Yeah. You have one of these?
No. I have several friends of mine do that.
They do.
Yes, very nice.
It really does work well, and it has an interactive mode. It has a beginner's course. It has instant replay. It really is a product to have, and it's from MFJ. I can't express how much I really would appreciate if everybody would just call MFJ Enterprises at 1-800-647-1800 and thank them for the years of support here. And hopefully they'll stay in business a long time to come with progressive ideas, inexpensive prices, and quality equipment. Again, the MFJ 418 is the product I'm talking about now. It's their Morse code tutor. It's a small, compact, new product. It is really cool if you want to learn Morse code. The MFJ 418, 1-800-647-1800. Now, my first sponsor and a really good friend of mine is Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ. Write the phone number down. I'm going to make this commercial today very easy. All you need to do is write the phone number down. Okay, so you don't need to buy a car today. You don't want to buy a new truck. You don't want to buy anything new today. You want to buy it in 6 months and a year. You still want to call Ken when it comes time. Okay? Write this phone number down. If nothing else, if for no other reason, if you call Ken and he gives you the price, you'll know if you got a good deal at home or not. And then if you think you got a great deal, fine, buy it from wherever. But I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised that without any hassles whatsoever, you can buy through Ken and pick it up nearby, and you're going to save loads of money. So write this phone number down for future reference or call them tomorrow. 1-800-497-8740, extension 580. You need it again? Okay. 1-800-497-8740, extension 580. That's Ken Nichols. He actually works for the largest Dodge dealer in the world, but they also have tons of other makes and models of vehicles. Ken can get what you want at the price you want to pay. 1-800-497-8740, extension 580. What about Amateur Radio Trader Magazine? Give Nick Smith a call there. Leave a message for Nick. Tell him you really appreciate the fact that he, in all these years since he's begun, put an ad in the paper in his magazine promoting Ham Radio and More. Of course, I've promoted him on this show, and he's been an ardent supporter, and I have been of his. His magazine has gotten bigger, better, bolder, just better than any other magazine on the market if you're looking to buy or sell merchandise, and if you want just some good information. And, you know, there's another magazine. It starts with a Q, and it's out there also. And I guess you got to be a member of an organization, or you can go to a local store, I guess, now and pay $5 for it. Well, Amateur Radio Trader Magazine is a lot less expensive and has just as many ads. Because if you buy that other paper magazine, it's got tons of ads. 40% of the goddamn magazine is all ads anyway. So, I mean, they are in full color. There isn't as much full color in this magazine as there is. It's not on slick paper. But you're saving a lot of money, and you see the same ads. And these are nice people. Nick Smith is a nice guy at Amateur Radio Trader Magazine. Give him a call. Tell him I said he's a nice guy. 1-800-77-HAM-AD. 1-800-774-2623. 1-800-77-HAM-AD. Okay, what you're listening to? You're listening to me, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, Raven Rant today on our final show. We started April 1991. It is now, what, October the 26th, 1997. You know, many other shows don't last 3 weeks.
No.
We're here a long time.
That was Vector Prognosis on your show would be at last maybe 3 weeks.
Dean Norris, and I'm going to mention his name on my show, told everybody that the first week I was going to be on, I was going to be off. It is now 1997, and no one's throwing me off the air. I have decided to stop. In fact, I will also tell you that the shortwave station running our show asked me to call them to discuss staying longer, etc. And I really don't have an interest because I've honestly lost my zeal for this hobby, in this service. There is nowhere for a show like this to go. Newsline. Now I know that people will disagree, but the Newsline has been on for 20-some years, each and every week, doing a tremendous job of giving the news in amateur radio. Is that true or false, Professor?
No, I would say so, yes. I would agree with that.
Would you even say, even though it's commercial in nature, W5YI does an excellent job with their newsletter, and although he's out there to make money, which is fine, he's out there to earn a living, he gives a lot of information, and he is well-quoted, and he does a good job. This Week in Amateur Radio, which is a group that's in New York that does it by, it's on the internet, you can download it, it's on satellite, and they started from very meager beginnings, and now they put Hap Holly's Rain Dial up on there, and there's a whole bunch of stuff, and they do a very nice job. That's there. Well, lo and behold, now the ARRL just last week has their news bulletin service. They can't stand all the others that are doing it for free, so now they're doing it for free too, but what are they trying to do? Now, I know that some people said they're doing it because it's only right for them to do this. People go to the ARRL for news. Why can't the ARRL have a thing in there on their website that directs them to Newsline to listen to the news? Why do they have to go in competition to Newsline and go in competition with everybody else? Now, maybe Bill Pasternak doesn't want anybody to be mad at him. Maybe W5YI doesn't want anybody. Maybe even Glenn Baxter doesn't want anybody to be mad at him. But the fact of the matter is that there is now they're doing their own Newsline, so to speak, their own news every week. Now, they've been doing the ARRL letter. Why, but do they have to have now a Newsline service that's doing the same thing that Newsline, Bill Pasternak does, and everybody else? I think They want to cover it all. And are they doing a good job? Well, I don't know. Is the ARRL doing a good job? They only lost $500,000 last year. They must be doing a super job. Now they're sending out documents. In fact, I've got it right here. Remember how things looked this time last year, quoting the ARRL? Things looked bleak for amateur radio. For the first time ever, we faced a threat to 2 meters, our most popular frequency band. What's he trying to say now that they're not facing this now? No. What they're trying to say is, P.S., so you can let others know that you supported defense of amateur radio this year, we will send you an attractive and distinctive label pin in recognition of a $50 or more contribution. To recognize contributions of $100 or more, we will send a specially designed coffee mug. Ooh, you will be proud to display them both. By giving them money, that keeps amateur radio alive. Great. The ARRL. But by some company sponsoring the Ham Radio and More show and being able to promote to the general public amateur radio and getting more people to become hams, that's not supportive of amateur radio, so they can't spend $30 a week to support this show. ICOM can't spend $30 a week to support this show. The industry is so backward, it's unbelievable. The industry is unbelievable. All they do is advertise to who? Current hams! They don't try to go out there and get new hams. Where are they advertising? In QST Magazine. Where are they advertising? In 73 Magazine? No, not really. Where are they advertising? In CQ Magazine, CQ VHF Magazine, World Radio Magazine. Who buys these magazines? Current hams. Why don't they advertise in Good Housekeeping? Why don't they advertise in MTV? Why don't they advertise to get more people into amateur radio? Why don't they advertise on a radio show? Do you know what the owner of Ham Radio Outlet... See, I don't work there anymore. You know what the owner of Ham Radio Outlet told me at one time? There's no reason to advertise to them. Radio, on the radio, radio doesn't work. Radio doesn't work. That's probably why McDonald's spends $50 million a year on radio. It doesn't work. That's why beer commercials run and spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year. It doesn't work. Wrigley's gum is on the radio all day. It doesn't work. You can't sell radio or anything over the radio. It doesn't work. I was told that. I was told by the owner of AES in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was told by him, why should we advertise on the radio or to prospective hams? There's no reason to advertise to prospective hams because they may not become hams. It's a waste of money. We should only advertise to current hams. Could you imagine if the guy who invented the Pet Rock only advertised the previous owners of Pet Rocks? What about if Intel only advertised to former owners or current owners of computers when they came out with their first 286 chip? Or IBM first came out with their computer? I mean, this is the most ridiculous, backward organization and hobby when it comes to those things I've ever heard of. This is a organization, this is a hobby where the ARRL is running it, where Morse code is primary mode of communication. It is more important than voice, more important than any digital mode. Some you might want to call CW digital, but any other digital mode, it's become the most important mode of communication because it's the only mode we test on in order to allow you to talk on the HF band. That's back in the 1800s when they had Morse code. Why don't we require people to know something in the year 2000, technology of today? I mean, why are we testing people back then? Anyway, I'm through raving and ranting. 602-678-1234 is our phone call. Obviously, people have no arguments with anything I say because the phones are quiet. So either the propagation is such today that WWCR is not putting out any power and no one's hearing us, or they're just not interested.
Everybody's in the CQ Worldwide phone contest going on this weekend.
That's what it is. The CQ, right. There can't be unless they know Morse code.
That's true.
See, they got to know Morse code in order to participate on the CQ Voice phone contest. That makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, is there anybody out there who agrees with me who thinks that it makes no sense whatsoever to require you to know 13 words per minute Morse code so that you can get into the CQ Worldwide phone contest? Hello, who do we have on the air?
You have Larry, W-A-1-W-E-J. I've called Lynn a lot of times.
Hi, Larry.
I was interested. I saw a couple things happen in amateur radio this week that kind of pulled my chain, too, and I can understand Lynn's. I won't use the word frustration, but his efforts and all that stuff. And one of the things I noticed was I got a letter from the ARRL begging for more money to fight for amateur radio. At first, I thought it was from the National Rifle Association because they do that. And I picked up my copy of Mobile Communications. It's a magazine sent to fire departments and people that have two-way radio systems. And there was a quote from some big Wheeler dealer in the cellular phones that everything should be private. All amateur communications, like phone patches and stuff. And I thought, hey, this world's going crazy. Mm-hmm. This kind of stuff shouldn't happen in amateur radio.
Well, what can I say? I agree with you. Do you have a comment at all? No, Professor doesn't want to comment on this either. I agree with you. I think that it's getting a little ridiculous. I think the ARRL has too much power with the FCC. I think that, we as members of the ARRL, they listen to some of us. However, not enough of us who are actually members answer their surveys and actually respond to stuff. I don't think that they handle the corporate headquarters properly when they're losing $500,000. I mean, they sound like the U.S. government. They're running into red. Don't you think they should run they should run even? They shouldn't lose $500,000. Maybe they should lower instead of raise dues. Maybe they should go out and try to get new hams. What the heck do they do to encourage no-code hams to join? What do they do for no-code hams? Nothing. The average no-code ham that I talk to that he actually has looked at a QST magazine says they can't understand it. It's not written for them.
I see.
I mean, these are things that I get told. Now, I may be the biggest idiot that ever walked this earth, and that's fine if people want to think that or whatever, but I do talk to the average ham on the street, so to speak. And I mean, I listen to what they say, and they are very, very, whoa, we have some feedback coming from something.
No, that's my page at fire
okay.
department.
Okay, right. Well, anyway, Larry, I want to thank you for the call.
Yeah, well, okay, good luck, Lynn.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you very much for your
okay.
call. Bye-bye. Thank you very much for the call, Larry. Okay, who do we have online?
Yeah, Lynn, it's Ken Collier, KO6UX.
How you doing, Ken?
How you doing, Lynn?
This is Ken from Mr. ADI, Premier Communications.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to call up and say how sorry I am to hear the show's going away.
Well, what can I say?
Yeah, well, I think it's just really a reflection of the way that the whole industry is going.
Well, I shouldn't have said where you're from, then. I should have kept you incognito, huh?
Well, that's okay. It's okay that I'm going on the record with this. I mean, I think it's no secret that the industry is going this way.
Well, Ken, I'm not picking on you, but it's because of the industry. It's one of the major factors of my stopping this is the lack of support from the industry.
Right, I understand. You understand that there are a lot of people that are in the ham radio industry that are real reluctant to spend any kind of money on advertising to a market other than hams, or even to a market that is hams and then some. You know, they just want to run their magazine ads and go for the guys that that have been buying radios from them already.
Right. Well, that's exactly what you couldn't hear our. You're not able to pick us up today, are you?
No, I'm sure not.
No, I didn't think so. So, yeah, I mentioned that earlier in my tirade. I actually mentioned that, Ken, that the industry finds it content to advertise to current hams rather than trying to go out there and get a whole new group. And here I am trying to do just that, promote amateur radio. We were on as many as 74 stations at one time throughout the United States. We were in California. We were in Washington. We were in Florida. We were all over the United States, in addition to being on shortwave, in addition to being on satellite in three different modes. We had all that, but did the industry care? No. What is the exact amount of people listening? It's not like, you know, that's what they would ask. It's not like sending out a magazine where you know how many subscribers. You don't know. But did any of them think that the Super Bowl is not watched by 15 billion people or whatever? You know, those numbers are just as authentic as the numbers that WWCR gives listening to shortwave. We put numbers together, all the stations that were with us, that were affiliated to us, and I'm telling you, it was over 70 different stations, and they didn't want to believe the numbers. They didn't want to listen. They thought no one, you know, it doesn't matter what the listenership is. People don't listen to the radio, and you can't sell anything. And the Icons of the world, the Kenwoods, the Asus, all the big guys, they Standard. Did you hear me? Standard, Roger Wayman, Imbecile. So, you know, all the people in the world who said they don't listen, I have had over 40,000 people go to my homepage. I have had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people sign guest books and send emails. The fact of the matter is this show did hit people. People did listen. We had the largest increase of amateur activity of any big city in the United States when I was on live in Phoenix. That is a fact. Even the ARRL can't deny it. And the fact of the matter is that when my show went off locally, because we went only to shortwave, there has been 16 new hams in the northeast quadrant of the Phoenix metropolitan area this year. 16 when there were hundreds before. So, aside from the fact that, that amateur radio is slowing down. So anybody that doesn't think that us on the radio is a help to the industry, they need their heads examined and to get them out of their rear ends. Thank you, Ken.
Let me make a prediction here, because I think what's going to happen, Len, is as you go along here, I think it's happening already, is as the industry is finding the hams that we have, the sales are drying up. There's just not... People aren't buying radios like they used to, and
buying them at Radio Shack.
Right. What you're seeing now is manufacturers scrambling to get their stores or to get the radios into stores that are more accessible to the public. You got Kenwood and Fry's, you've got Standard and Elenco now in Tech America, and I think you're going to see more of that as their sales start to dry up. But it's really just a band-aid. It's not bringing new people in, and. You know, it may be too late by the time the industry finally wakes up. And
if they wake up.
If there is
still an industry after they wake up.
Right.
Ken?
And I could very easily conceive of that being the case.
I really appreciate your call. I have other calls. I want to just continue as many as I can.
Not a problem. Wherever you go and whatever you do.
Thank you very much for your support, Ken.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have lines available now at 602-678-1234. Okay, who do we have and where are you calling from, please?
Hey, I just had to turn my radio off.
Thank you.
This is Chuck Howard here in Tampa, Florida.
Hi, Chuck.
I found your program. Now you're going off the air. That's a luck, ain't it?
Well, Chuck, you know, what can I say?
It's a shame.
I can tell you that although we are probably not anywhere in the top three shows listened to on WWCR, I do know that we are listened to on WWCR, and I am sure that you know that we did well for them, and I think we got them a lot of listeners. Phone calls, emails show that people did listen to this show. Again, it's hard to get demographics exactly, but I think that a lot of people. Let WWCR know that they wanted to hear us, and that was one of the reasons we were on in the first place there. Continue on, Chuck. Sorry.
I'm not a ham, but I'm interested in the subject, and and I never hear anybody on it, and suddenly I seen your ad in the ham ad.
Right.
About your program, and I said, someone here is promoting amateur radio, and that was nice, and you could get some information.
Chuck, you are the absolute perfect example, but the industry refuses to admit that you, Chuck, exists. They don't believe that by my doing a radio show, I get people interested in this hobby. They think it's a lie.
Well, I'm concerned about it being referred to by many as a closed society. You never see any promotion of it.
Well, you're right. You know, this hobby, this service is one of the stranger ones in existence. First of all, you go to any meeting, you will see white people, very few African Americans or minorities, I have to tell you. You will see mostly older people. Everybody seems to have gray hair, and they tend to be male, very few females. Now, it's changing very, very, very slowly, but that is a fact. And, I wouldn't call all hams right-winged or left-winged or anything politically, because they walk from all strata, but when they come from all strata. But if you go to club meetings, you will see. And is that right, Professor, or not?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, I mean, I'm not making this up. You will see older people, Caucasian, and male. And that has to change. If this hobby and this service and the things that we do for the community are going to continue, we need new blood in this hobby, and it isn't going to happen with the backward-looking people that are running this industry, including the ARRL. You hear that, Mr. Sumner?
They ought to hear that loud and clear.
Okay, thank you.
I certainly appreciate talking to you. I sure hate you going off there.
Well, thank you very much, Chuck. I appreciate your call, really, sincerely.
You take care out there. Okay. Big 73.
Okay, 73, and don't give up. Become a ham anyway. Who do we have on the air?
Good afternoon. My name is Paul. I call from Massachusetts.
Hi, Paul.
I'm another one of want to be him. Enjoy the radio program very much.
And you want to be a him?
Yes, I do.
Another person that doesn't really exist, according to the ARRL, the ARRL told me that nobody listens to my show. They ran an ad 3 weeks. They only sold a few or no one. I don't know, they're Tune In the World, or Now You're Talking Books, I should say. And so, therefore, no one listens, and no one who does listen is concerned about becoming a ham. It doesn't exist.
My personal belief is that the industry is on a death wish by sending off people like myself.
You are 100% correct. And, I mean, I'm not a great judge of age or anything over the telephone, but you don't sound like you're in your 15 or 20 years. You sound like you're a little older than that.
Well, I'm 55.
Okay. So you would even fit in the demographics of a current ham being 55, male, and yet you're not a ham, and they don't think you exist. They don't think shortwave radio listeners want to become hams. They don't believe that if Morse code was gotten rid of, that there would be an influx of shortwave listeners becoming hams overnight. They don't believe this.
I've been a shortwave listener for 21 years. I even thought it was the natural progression to become a ham after this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. But, it one voice in the wilderness. If everybody wants to get together, please send your messages to the American Radio Relay League. Tell them how I went off the deep end today and how I was maybe off the deep end, but you know what? Maybe that's the right end to be on, not the other end, not the, oh, everything is fine and dandy, and don't worry about anything because we're going to survive because we say so.
Well, unfortunately, the internet might put their death with to the amateur radio, because too many people, that's going internet right now.
Well,
not ham.
You are correct on that. Now, if people go to my homepage, they would see that on the video that we did from Dayton, that is one of the four topics of discussion. Is the internet killing amateur radio? There's pro and con to that. I don't think it's necessarily killing it, but of course, if you talk to Cliff Stahl, he'll tell you it is. And he's written a couple of books, but then if you listen to Bill Pasternak, he'll tell you it is also. But there are many people, and I am one, who believe that the internet, although it is hurting amateur radio, can be very beneficial and help amateur radio, not be a total detriment. But amateur radio doesn't embrace it the way that they should. Now, you know, of course, we also didn't embrace Senator Barry Goldwater in the last 5 to 8 years like I suggested we do, because here was a man who everybody knows worldwide, ran for president of the United States, and was a ham, and it was love of ham radio, but we didn't utilize his visibility to promote this hobby. And the more I told the ARRL, they laughed at me. They said, no one cares about Barry Goldwater anymore. Well, yeah, right.
Barry Goldwater was a well-known ham operator.
Oh, of course. Of course. Thankfully, we had him during the Vietnam War. He ran Mars operations. Many, many, many hundreds of thousands of servicemen were able to talk to their loved ones just because of amateur radio. I want to thank you for calling from Massachusetts.
I'm very sorry you're seeing going, but I realized what the problem is, and I really enjoyed your program.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate you calling. You too. Thank you. 602-678-1234. 602-678-1234. MFJ Enterprises. I'm not going to talk about a particular item. I'm just going to tell you their phone number again. 1-800-647-1800. 1-800-647-1800. MFJ Enterprises. Give them a call. Get their catalog. If you're a shortwave listener, they've got tons of stuff to improve your shortwave reception. They've got antennas. They've got shortwave receiving kits. They've got all kinds of stuff. They've even got crystal sets if you want to learn how to make one, like we talked about last week. And boy, did I get a lot of response on that. It's unbelievable. Anyway, MFJ Enterprises, give them a call. They're celebrating 25 years. That's an awfully long time, four times more than I've even been on the air. 1-800-647-1800, MFJ Enterprises. They're really a good company. Martin Jew is a great guy, the owner. Who do we have? You're on the air.
Oh, this is Nick.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Good. I am a non-ham shortwave listener.
From?
And this is my second time I've been able to reach you.
Okay, and you're calling from?
Cassville, Wisconsin.
Okay, go ahead.
And I am frustrated radio operator because I'm on the radio without a license, and I can tell the ARRL to shove it because I feel the code has... I couldn't get the code, so okay.
Let me just make this quick, because you actually are saying that if the code requirement was dropped, you'd be a legal ham.
You bet.
Okay. I really appreciate you calling. Listen, you're a voice in the wilderness. There are so many that don't exist, according to the ARRL, that don't exist, according to ICOM, Mr. ICOM, Mr. Roger Wayman at Standard. You guys don't exist. These are companies that say you guys don't exist. That's unbelievable.
That's why I bought a swan.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your call. I just want to move on and keep getting phone calls. 602-678-1234. Who do we have on the air?
Hi, Lynn. This is Charlie Wells in Alma, Arkansas, KM5GJ.
How you doing, Charlie?
Just fine. I just wanted to call in and tell you, or tell at least your show goodbye. I hope you can still be reached on the internet.
I will be on the internet. I'm at Table Tennis and More, but you couldn't get to there on my ham radio and more page.
Well, I think one of the things that impressed me when I was just an O-code tech, I sent you an email, and you immediately responded to it. And I always felt like that you did justice to the show by being available at other times and lended certain credibility. My frustration was, as you and I have emailed back and forth, was I couldn't get a radio station in Fort Smith, Arkansas to carry you.
Well,
but they said there wasn't. They'd rather play Spanish music on Saturday nights than your show.
But the sad part, Charlie, was that we were on over 70 stations at one time.
Oh, I know. I always had to get you on off the internet or shortwave.
Right. No, but I'm just saying that we had to stop that, and we had to stop the easy availability for broadcast stations because the industry refused to support us when we had to charge a lot of money, a reasonable amount, but a lot of money, to advertise on the show. When we lowered it, when I took this as my own on shortwave, and we're charging $30 a week for advertising, when a company like ICOM, Yaesu, Kenwood, the ARRL, can't afford $30 a week to advertise, you think I was overcharging?
That's a crime.
And I do the spots live. Do I do them live or what? And are they more than a minute? They're more than a minute. And I mean, it's unbelievable that this industry will not support it. But such is life.
Such as it is. But I hate to see you go. I wish you well. I think your show was good for the industry. It got me involved. It got me to upgrade. I'm extra class.
Good.
I'm also a member of No Code International.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
I'm not thought of too well by some of the, as you said a while ago, the gray-haired club members that they don't think much of me in that respect. But I think it's time for ham radio to get into the new millennium, as the politically correct term is now.
That's right.
And do away with this code thing.
Charlie, I appreciate your call. Please send email, and I will continue to respond.
Thank you, sir, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much, 73.
Good day.
Opens up a line at 602-678-1234. The professor is sitting here, hands behind his head, listening to all
this. It's a great show. You should all watch this guy at work. He's standing up, jumping around like crazy.
That's not true. That's not true. Okay, who do we have on the air?
Yeah, this is JB.
Hi, JB. Where are you calling from?
We're in Houston.
How you doing?
You know, I was listening to you guys, and I was getting all kind of information from y'all's show, and I really hate to see you go off, man. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I really thank you. I'm not happy that I'm going off. As I told the ARRL, and as they put in their ARRL letter, Rick Lindquist did it, and as Bill Pasternak put it on Newsline, you know, if the, don't take this wrong, but if the miracle the financial miracle fairy came down from up above and decided to bestow upon me something, and they wanted to put a show together that made sense, I certainly wouldn't be against it to promote amateur radio. But I can tell you that this industry is not ready to do it. This industry doesn't want to do anything that would be in the future. They think in the past, and I would probably have heart attack if they did come together and said, hey, Len, we would like you as a front person to support amateur radio, to promote it to the public, and to be on the radio and really stress it. I mean, I'm sure that I can, I'm not sure, but I would think that I can call WWCR at sometime in the future and get a spot. It wouldn't necessarily be at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays every time, but wherever it would be, and we could do it again. I don't have a problem with that. I certainly don't have a problem promoting amateur radio if I see there's a future in it, not a future in me making money, in a future in amateur radio surviving, that the industry is really concerned with seeing it thrive, that the ARRL really wants to see new people into it, not see it, as a person called earlier said, a closed society.
Right. Well, you know, it's not whether that AWRL wants it. It's whether the people that are listening to you want it. Now, if they get together and start writing letters and raising some heck with the different organizations that think they're running the whole amateur radio community, that might, raise a little dust. And I was hearing you were coming in super here in Houston.
Yeah, well, I didn't even need the shortwave station today.
Yeah, you were blowing me away on that. And, you know, I'll just sum it up this way. When my mother-in-law, she had a heart attack, and she was in her car, and she didn't have any way to get any help. What she did, she called a ham friend of hers, and I'll tell you what, we had three mechanics there, and they fixed her car for nothing. That's the kind of people hams are, okay?
I want to thank you for calling, and I appreciate your kind words, and, you know, you didn't hear me to say to send the letters.
All right. Well, listen. Don't let them take away the food, fuel, family, firearms, or the frequencies, okay?
Sounds good. I like your style.
Thank you.
Take care, Houston. Bye-bye. Who do we have on the air? 602-678-1234. We got time for your call. Go ahead.
This is John Jenkins from Charleston, West Virginia.
And how are you doing, John?
Let you know that I hate to see you go off air.
Well, yeah, we used to be on in West Virginia, in Berkeley, West Virginia, on a really good radio station. They had us on for years in Berkeley.
I just tuned there and heard you say you was going off. I really hate that, and I agree with what you're saying there. And
Thank you very much. Thank you for taking the time to write, call, I should say, and thank you for your kind words, and I appreciate it. I'm not happy that we're going off the air. I just think time has come unless the industry changes and moves their spots a little bit. It's hard to get a Leopard to change their spots. It's hard to get the ARRL to change, and it's hard to get the industry to wake up and smell the coffee.
Yeah, so you're one of the few shows on. You know, it's got, you know, ham radio on it, you know, hard to find anything, and then you're going off, so we really hate to see you go.
Well, you know, maybe something could be worked out. Nothing is forever.
Yeah.
The show isn't on forever, and it may not necessarily be off forever, but it will not be on live any time after today until I know something changes.
Well, we'll be looking and listening for you to be on something else, hopefully, and hopefully things will work out.
73, thanks for calling. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Who do we have? 602-678-1234.
Good evening there, Mr. Len.
Thank you. Who's calling?
This is Ken Hitchcock, KB0OQJ in Titusville, Florida.
How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing really good. How about you?
Well, I'm doing all right.
I just wanted to call and tell you that I agree with you quite a bit, and I agree with your gray-haired theory there. In fact, I'm a member of the club here. I'm only 17, and the only other member my age is a 16-year-old who is also involved in the club. And I wanted to tell you something about ham radio there. We've got some kids across the street that are about my age, and they've seen the antennas, and they've been over because I like to promote the hobby also, and I showed them the radio, and I showed them who I could talk to. In fact, I talked to an Italian station on 10 meters once with it, and he said, I can do that on the Internet.
Yeah.
That's,
well, you know what? You know, as he can, but you know what? He can also, when he gets on the Internet, on Internet phone or on any of those chat channels or anything else, he can see where the person is and know that if he clicks on it, he can talk to that person, and it sounds clear as a clear as a bell, and everything is fine. But you know what? The magic of radio is still the magic of radio. There's still exciting to be there in your shack at night, turning the dial between whatever frequency and whatever frequency, 28, 3, and 5 if you're a Tech Plus, and go there and hear some noise, but you never know who you're going to find. And then it's the magic. Can you get a hold of that person? Can he get back to you? So that experience you can't have on the Internet. That experience is something only radio can provide, and we are not showing young people. I appreciate that you are a ham at 17 and you have a 16-year-old, and you need to promote the hobby because it's people like you that are going to be there in 50 years. They're going to be people like me here in 50 years, and certainly not the 50 and 60 and 70-year-old hams of today aren't going to be here even in 20 years. And that's who makes up the ARRL. So good luck to you, and good luck to Hampton Radio and to your future.
That's right. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome.
73. Who do we have on the air?
You got Ken from Bonner Springs, Kansas.
A lot of Kens. Thank you, Ken. Okay, what do you have to say?
Well, not a whole lot. I've been in SWL since high school back in the 50s. Tried to get my code never did make it for the novice, went into the military, kind of lost interest, got into the CB boom, lost it. I hate to say this, but I have been a little illegal with some Drake equipment, but the code kicks my behind every time.
So you would be a ham, you'd be, you got your ticket, you'd be legal, you'd be honest, you'd be above board if, in fact, they dropped the code requirement.
Yes, sir, I would. But the time involved and trying to find somebody to administer the test or head to a big city where you can take it, you're trying to work, make a living, and you just don't have time for it.
Well, you know, you're citing some other problems, and that, those are real concerns. I don't want to get into that because we don't have enough time. But,
well, that's true, but I will say, like you said about, if you were legal and did have a license, you're out there, you're picking up somebody, you never know who you're going to talk to. That's like SWL. You're out there.
Correct. That's the beauty of SWLing. You never know what station or what beacon you're going to hear. I mean, there are people listening on long wave for hours at a time in the middle of the night just to hear that one beacon, and then they got to go try to figure out where it's coming from.
I've done that on occasion. I will say that I will call MFJ and Ken Nichols and thank them for allowing you to be on the air for the short time that I listen to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Ken is a really nice guy. If you ever do need a car or truck or van, really, give him a chance, seriously.
I will do that, and okay. The best of luck to you, and
Thank you.
I ever get on the Internet, I'll be looking for,
Ham Radio and More, but I will give my email address in a minute.
Okay,
so
I'll be
people
right
can
there.
Have my email address.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye, 73. 602-678-1234. Let me give my email address, lenwink, L-E-N-W-I-N-K, at goodnet.com. Again, LENWINK at goodnet, GOODNET.com. Lenwink at goodnet.com. If you send me an email, I will respond back to you. If you want my home page, just let me know, and I will respond back to you with that information. People who want to get information of a technical nature, who have questions or comments of a technical nature about amateur radio, and you want to talk to the professor, Ned Stearns, AA7A, what's yours?
Yeah, my email address is Stearns, S-T-E-A-R-N-S, at goodnet.com. Stearns, S-T-E-A-R-N-S, at goodnet.com. Or if you send it to Len, he'll forward it to me. I do get a lot from him, second
right.
Rebounded from.
Yeah, so by all means, send me email. You can always call the 602-678-1234 number and leave messages at any time when we're not around. Just leave a message on the answering machine, and we'll get back to you. So, if anybody has some great ideas or if ICOM changes their mind. All right, who do we have here on the air?
Let's see, I'll turn off my shortwave radio.
Please.
My name is Charles Cavey, KC6DLJ.
And you're calling from, Charles?
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay, go ahead.
I used to listen to you on my satellite dish when I was living in California.
When we were on Talk America.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can't remember the satellite.
Yeah, we were on SpaceNet 3, transponder 19, 6.8 audio.
Right. And I want to say that I've listened to you through the years. When I moved out here, it took me a while to, find you on shortwave.
Mm-hmm.
But I do make it a habit of listening to you. If I have to work, I work a lot of night shift. I've gone through the bit of taping it and listening to you later on. I've enjoyed your show. I'm a shortwave listener and a scanner, and I've listened to your shows on scanning and shortwave, and I've enjoyed it. And to be perfectly honest, I'm sorry to hear you go, but I understand what's going on.
Well, I got to go because I heard my beep, so I want to thank you very, very much for being a supporter and a listener for all this time. I really appreciate it. You don't know how much that means to me.
Bye-bye, sir.
Okay, thank you. And I want to thank all my listeners, everybody who's involved, whoever listened to the show. I really want to thank my professor, Ned Stearns, AA7A.
Well, I enjoyed this a lot. It's been an interesting
time spent on the weekends with you, and I'll keep doing what I can do.
Okay.
And I recommend other people get off their butt as well, and if something is not what they want, put in some effort and make it more what they want. Invest some time and in this hobby.
Okay, 73, everybody. We're QRT. Thank you very, very much. Maybe we'll see you again.